When Connor and Zach were young, much younger than now, they used to love to get autographs from baseball players. They would, Connor was pretty good at getting an autograph. Zach, however, was the master. There was only one player I can think of in all the years Zach was after autographs that he failed to get, and that was Jose Reyes, and it's a long story why. It's a great story that I can tell you some other time. And Zach would go through great lengths in order to get every autograph he could possibly get. And he had this, they both had these notebooks that with autographs in them that they collected over the years. And one of my favorite autographs, the one that has the best story about it, was, it still makes me smile when I think about it. He was after the Astros closer, a guy by the name of Brad Lidge. Well, he was on one side of the ballpark, and Zach saw Lidge on the other side beginning to sign, and so he just took off to go get the autograph. It's a real good story surrounding that with Jill and losing Zach and the fear Zach had and the fear Jill had. And when we finally found Zach, he was a little terrified, but he also had a smile because he had gotten Brad Lidge's autograph. And so I asked him, Zach, how in the world did you get it with all those people around? And he just kind of smiled and said, well, Dad, it was kind of like this. I saw the crowd of people, and I decided, well, he dropped to his knees, and he crawled underneath legs, and he jumped up at Brad Lidge, handing him the notebook, got Brad Lidge to sign the notebook, and Zach dropped to his knees again and crawled back out, and he had succeeded. When I think of that story, I'm reminded of another Zach who saw an opening and went for it. And this Zach didn't climb through legs. Said he climbed a tree. And it's a story we know well. If you have your Bibles, open it to Luke chapter 19. And I've preached on this before, but I had a new understanding of this story, a way of looking at it that I've never looked at it before, and I wanted to share it with you. This is how Luke tells the story. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through town. Now, just a little side note here. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, on his way to the cross, and Jericho is about 17 miles from Jerusalem, and according to Luke, in the original language, Jesus didn't stop in Jericho. Instead, he went straight through town. And we know that because there was a law that the rabbis instituted, for reasons we won't go into today, that said that sycamore trees had to be at least 50 yards outside of town. There were no sycamore fig trees allowed inside the limits of Jericho. So Jesus passes right through, and a man there named Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus means the pure one, the righteous one, the clean one. He was a ruler among tax collectors and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he couldn't because of the crowd. Now, a better understanding, and this is where I got all excited about, a better translation isn't a short man, but a better Greek translation would be short in stature. Now, some of the translations say that, and some call him a short man. The song calls him a wee little man. So Zacchaeus ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree so he could see Jesus, who was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that spot, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come down at once. I must stay in your home today. So Zacchaeus came down at once, happy to welcome him. And everyone who saw this grumbled, saying, he has gone to be the guest of a, of a sinner. Now, the people of Jericho were not happy. They were not happy for two reasons. One, they weren't happy that Jesus decided to pass right through town. And two, they certainly weren't happy that Jesus was deciding to eat dinner at the house of a sinner. And so they grumbled and complained and griped. Now, we know that the people of Jericho couldn't be church folk, because church folk never grumble, never complain, never gripe. And you guys don't. And this is what Zacchaeus says. Look, Lord, I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I cheated anyone, I repay them four times as much. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this household, because he too is son of Abraham. The human one came to be seek and to save the lost. Now when I preached this sermon a couple summers ago, I shared with you this understanding of the Greek that we need to know. Because most of the time when this sermon is preached, when this sermon is taught, or when this lesson is taught, it is usually about a conversion. And the preacher or the teacher wants to make the point that Zacchaeus somehow was converted, that he went from being an evil, greedy tax collector to this giving, caring person. And that's a great story, except it's not true to the text. Because what Luke is very careful to do is to use precise language in the original Greek. And what Luke has Zacchaeus saying is all in the present tense. Zacchaeus doesn't say, I will give. But what Zacchaeus actually says is, I give already. Right now, I give half of what I own to the poor. And Zacchaeus doesn't say, in the future, I'm going to repay. What Zacchaeus says in the original language is, right now, anytime I realize that I have mistreated or have wrongly collected money from a person, it is my practice to pay back four times the amount. You see the difference? It is a present tense, not a promise to do it in the future. So what Luke, I think, wants us to know is that this isn't a conversion story. Zacchaeus was not converted. He was already not being greedy. He was already not being dishonest. He was already doing the right thing. So if I'm correct, and this is how Luke really meant it to be, and it's not a conversion story, then why is the story in here in the first place? Now, I've heard preachers use it as a stewardship sermon, which I can't figure out. But it's not conversion, and it's not stewardship. And it wasn't until this week that I finally understood what this sermon should be and what this passage really might not be saying. And I discovered it in that phrase, short in stature. Now, I all the years that I've studied this and preached this and taught this and read this, Bill, I never really paid attention to short in stature, because I know the songs. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, so I knew he was supposed to be short. But all of a sudden, the short in stature jumped out at me. And I begin to wonder, what if Luke wasn't talking about Zacchaeus' height? What if being short in stature for Luke was something more than being short? I'm not saying Zacchaeus wasn't short, but what if Luke wanted to point something else out? So I decided I would look up the word stature, and stature had a wonderful meaning in Greek. It wasn't just a height issue. Stature can also be talking about one's reputation. Stature, in the word that Luke used, is also talking about how others see us, but maybe more importantly, how we see ourselves. And so maybe I understand why Luke used the term Zacchaeus was short in stature. Because the people of Jericho had already made a decision about the type person Zacchaeus was. You see, they knew he was a tax collector, and because all other tax collectors were somehow greedy and dishonest and evil and bad people, they automatically jumped to the conclusion that if it was true for them, it was also true for Zacchaeus. And I imagine over time, because if you're told that you're bad long enough, if you're told that you're no good long enough, if you hear people talking about your behind your back enough, you begin to believe it. And so I believe that after time, Zacchaeus began to believe that maybe he was of no worth. Maybe he was of no value. Maybe he really was short in stature. No reputation. No achievements. No worth. No value. And when I look at it this way, maybe it's really not a conversion story, but maybe it's a healing story. Because maybe at the end of the day, Zacchaeus wasn't converted. Maybe he was simply healed. And as I try to figure out why Luke would record this story, it became clear to me, because I think at one time or another, all of us have felt like Zacchaeus. I would have to believe that at one time or another, we have all felt small and insignificant, ignored and of little importance. Anyone in here ever feel that way? Anyone in here ever felt as if you just don't measure up, that you're not enough? Anyone ever have it go through their mind that they're always on the outside looking in and never on the inside? Anyone ever constantly living their lives trying to prove yourself to others, and maybe even to yourself, or maybe even to try to prove yourself to God? Anybody ever feel like sometimes your value and your worth are defined by your past actions and your past choices? You ever start believing what other people say about you? That you're not good enough, that you're not smart enough, that you're not rich enough, that you're not athletic enough, that you're too skinny, that you're too overweight, that you're too tall, that you're too short? See, if you ever had any, if you answered yes to any of those things or the other thousand things that we could ask, you know what it's like to be short in stature. You know what it's like to question your own worth, your own value. You know what it's like to be Zacchaeus. And trust me, if we had time, I could tell you stories when I have felt like Zacchaeus, short in stature, unworthy, unlovable, pushed to the margins, pushed to the sidelines. Now, if I'm honest with you, when I get that way, I tend to want to run and hide. But what's interesting, that's not what Zacchaeus did. Zacchaeus didn't run and hide. Instead, Zacchaeus ran and he climbed a tree. Now, some people want to say that he climbed a tree because he was short. Some people want to say that he climbed a tree so he could see Jesus. Some people want to say he climbed a tree so that he could hide. I don't think that's why he climbed a tree. I think Luke tells us he climbed a tree so that he could see Jesus, but in my mind, what I believe, I wonder if it's not as much about Zacchaeus wanting to see Jesus as it is Zacchaeus needing Jesus to see him. Because I wonder if Zacchaeus didn't climb that tree because he needed to be seen and recognized and accepted by Jesus. Because when he was seen, recognized, and accepted by Jesus, he wasn't converted, but he was healed. You see, when Jesus, bless you, when Jesus stopped and he looked up at Zacchaeus, in my mind, that was the first time anyone ever looked up to Zacchaeus in Zacchaeus' whole life. And when Jesus stopped and looked up, he looked up with love and acceptance. But more importantly, he looked up and invited himself to sit at the table with Zacchaeus, the table of community, the table of grace, the table of hope, the table of peace. When he looked up and saw Zacchaeus in the tree, he didn't see a tax collector. He saw a child of God. He didn't see someone that was of no value and of no worth. He saw someone who was nothing but the best of the best of the best. And I don't know about you, but when I'm feeling short in stature, when I'm feeling unworthy and unloved, that's what I need. I mean, I want to see Jesus, but more than me seeing Jesus, I need Jesus to see me and to call me out of my tree and to look at me with love and acceptance, not so that I can be converted, but so that I can be healed. I need Jesus to see in me what I am unable to see in myself. And when I'm feeling unworthy and unloved and pushed to the side, I need the Son of God to call me by name and to love me and to remind me that I am more than what I've become. I'm more than the choices and the actions that I've chosen, that I too am a child of God, that maybe I really am nothing but the best of the best of the best. Look, whatever it is that has made you short in stature, whatever it is that has caused you to run up and hide in a tree, you have to understand one thing this morning. When you're up in the tree, that's exactly where Jesus stops. And he looks up with love and acceptance, and he calls you by name. And he calls you to join him at a table of love and a table of peace and a table where we hear the words that have been spoken when Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it, and said, "Take, eat, for this is my body broken for you. Do this and remember me." When you're up in a tree, that's where Jesus stops and he calls you by name and he invites you to a table where we hear the words that say, "Take and drink, for This is no longer just fruit of the vine. This is now my blood poured out for you and for many, so that all your sins may be forgiven. Do this and remember me. And so we come to a table and we remember and we hear God call us by name. And we're invited to this table. And so this morning, won't you come? Not to be converted, but to be healed. So that when you come to this table, you'll be able to see yourselves as a child of God, as the best of the best of the best, because that's what we are. So won't you come?